just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Open for your questions. Every week we're here during this time period just to help as many people as we possibly can. All you have to do is to dial that number, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Hey, your question can be about wills, trusts, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, can be about personal injury, can be about family law, can be just about any area of law that you have a question. All you have to do is to dial the number, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Do you have any misconceptions about trust? I wonder why people, sometimes I ask in seminars, okay, what have you heard about a trust that would make you not want one? Do you have a negative thought about a living trust? So yesterday a client comes in and they tell me they didn't really want a trust because their financial planner actually had told them that, well, you don't want to get the children involved in your estate. You know, you don't want to get them involved in your estate. And so the lady had the perception that if she did a living trust and named her children in the trust in any way, they would be in somewhat control of her estate now. She didn't want anybody in control of her estate now. She wanted to have total control herself. And she didn't want to do one because of that reason. I said, well, that's totally false. It's like, you know, going, getting advice from your neighbor over the backyard fence. I mean, that was like totally false. When you create a trust, you're the grantor, you're the trustee, you own it, you control it, you can do whatever you want to with it. And there's no loss of control. There's no loss of tax benefits. There's no loss of homestead. There's no... And then she goes on to say, well, I don't need one because I put my son's name on my account. It was really convenient. He went with me to the bank and I just put his name on an account. It was like $60,000-$70,000 account. And I said, well, that's fine. Do you want to do you want him to have all that money in that account? Or do you want it to go equally to your four children? Oh, no, I want everything to go equally to my four children. I said, well, you put his name on the account, you made a gift. First of all, that's a tax issue because it's over $15,000 gift. Second of all, if you died, it's all his. He doesn't have to share it with your other kids. I said, people go in and create accounts like that all the time thinking, well, I need to do this to avoid probate. Would that avoid probate? Yes. Will the end result of your children getting everything equally happen? Probably not. She thought that he would share it with the other. I said, well, suppose you die. He's so grieved. He has a heart attack the next day and he dies. That money's in his estate. It'll probably all go to his spouse. Suppose he's not mentally sharp, quite as sharp as he used to be, and maybe other family members control telling him he doesn't need to share that money. It was intended for him. I don't know, people have all these misconceptions about a trust is just a fancy will. You create a trust, you're the grantor, you're the trustee, you own it. And the big benefit is that account would go to the son upon death, but what if mom becomes incapacitated before death? If it's inside a trust, it can be used for her benefit if she's incapacitated. Hey, this is a live call-in show. It's Saturday morning, July 28th. And if you are, you could be watching the show on Facebook, on WeBeam, or on WeBeam TV. We're doing a Facebook Live presentation. You can find that on my page if you're a friend. I'd love for you to be a friend. Send me an invite. You can also, we have an Ask an Attorney page, and we have a Law Offices of Joseph Pippin page. If you don't have Facebook, or maybe it might be more convenient for you to watch it, you can go to WeBeamTV.com. WeBeamTV.com. And they produce the show here in the studio, and they also air it on their network. If you have a legal question, though, I'd love to help you. All you have to do is to dial that number, which is 877. It can be about any area of law. It can be about family law, real estate law. It can be about estate planning. It can be about trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys. It can be just about any area of law. We're here to help as many people as we possibly can. All you have to do is to dial the number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The show really is about helping you. And if you calling in helps other people because other people don't understand some of the things, same things that you don't understand or don't know the answer to. That's what the show is all about. Just everybody helping everybody, basically. You're helping by calling. You're helping yourself by getting an answer. And you're helping others who are listening who may have a similar or same circumstance. 877. And by the way, hosted Ask an Attorney for 34 years. It's the longest running, in my opinion. And I don't know anybody's ever told me anything different yet. Nobody has hosted a show for 34 years. A continual, same host, same format. Every week, usually on multiple stations, Ask an Attorney all about Florida law. That's me, Joe Pippin. 34 years. And running. And still running pretty good, I hope. All right, let's go to Colleen in St. Petersburg. Who's calling? Hey, Colleen. All right, Colleen, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. What can I do for you?
How often do you update your trust or your will?
Well, I send letters to our clients every 3 to 4 years and suggest an update.
Okay.
Now, wills and trust. Wills and trusts generally don't need to be updated unless you have changes.
Mm-hmm. Like what kind of changes?
Well, the most common changes are who the trustee, personal representative, executor, and the distribution somehow.
Okay.
Those would be the most common changes. Now, power of attorney, healthcare surrogate, and living wills, those should be updated every 3 or 4 years to have a current date on them. Because it's pretty widely what happens is that if you try to use those, the bank or medical or financial or healthcare provider will not want to honor them because of the age of the document. So it's good to have those updated every 3 or 4 years if you can.
Do you know anything about international law?
Well, a little bit. What's the question?
So I have my husband who is Swiss, and he'll be inheriting some funds. And, you know, as his wife, you know, he's dealing with this. He wants to keep the money over there, but how do you bring it over here? What kind of tax implications are there?
Well, every time I get a question like that, I usually the U.S. has tax treaties with all different countries, and they're all different. So, to answer what the tax implications are of an inheritance from another country, I'd have to probably look up the look into the tax treaty and see what the tax ramifications are of the inheritance. So I'm not going to be able to do that on the air. I mean, probably would glad to be talked to you privately and try to figure out the answer to your question, but it's just not a radio 2-minute window type of question I can get into.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And we do have you're in St. Pete. We do have an office in Pinellas. We have two offices in Pinellas.
Oh.
So, and we offer free consults, if you want to come in and we try to figure it out for you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you. And just to let you know, all the other listeners, we have 20 office locations around Florida. I go to 5 of those offices. We have offices in Pinellas, 2. We have offices in Polk. We have 2 there. We have offices in Pasco. We have 2 offices in Pasco. We have offices in Orlando area, Davenport, Lakeland. We have offices in Claremont, Leesburg, the Villages. We have offices in Palm Coast and Jacksonville area, Ponte Vedra. So if we can help you in any of those areas. In a lot of the areas that you can hear us on the radio from a local radio station, we have offices. And we're glad to serve. We have 7 attorneys, 25 staff members. So we have an ongoing operation. Main goal is to help as many people as we possibly can, of course. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. Let's go to Caleb in Tampa.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, my question is about timeshares. I recently went on a presentation in Hawaii, and I got the timeshare for Diamond Resorts. I don't know if I can say the name of it, but I'm supposed to pay a down payment. Mm-hmm. They gave me 90 days to pay the down payment, and I don't want the timeshare anymore. Mm-hmm. And I was told that if I didn't pay the down payment in a specific amount of time, that it would make the contract like null and void. And I wanted to know if that was true or with that.
Well, it depends. Depends, of course, on the language in the contract. So if you have a 9-day window to accept or cancel, that would be true.
Yeah, no, it's passed. It was back in May.
Oh.
So, right.
So is anybody pursuing you for additional money?
The quality assurance person who pursuing me for the down payment, but I was told that the down payment, I kind of don't really have to pay. It's not going to show up on my credit, but the actual mortgage of when it's supposed to start is in September. That would enable them to foreclose on me, and then it would be a bad mark on my credit for like 7 years. They said it was just like buying a house.
You signed a mortgage?
I it was my first time at a timeshare presentation. He said he was going to give me all the copies of everything that I signed, and I looked over them.
All right, you need to take all to get a proper answer to your question. You're going to need to take your papers to an attorney for them to review.
Okay.
Because I don't know at this point. I don't know if you signed a mortgage that you're obligated on, and you only had 9 days to make the payment. So now you might be in default of the down payment, and you might have signed a mortgage, and you might have obligated yourself, and you could possibly have a problem. But I don't want to say all that for sure because the documents need to be reviewed.
Okay. So basically, yeah, just take it to an attorney. Okay.
Yep. Unfortunately, yes.
All right. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Let's go to Robert in Sarasota.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Doing good. So I just have a couple quick questions. One being, I went and joined the military, and my grandfather died at that time. And I was wondering if there was any particular way I would be notified if I was a part of a will or anything of that nature.
Well, you should have been. What state did he die in?
Florida.
Yeah, the normal procedure is if a will is filed for probate and you're a beneficiary, you get notified of an inventory of the estate. You have to sign off and accept the amount that's proposed that you get as your share before the estate can be closed. So,
okay.
Yes.
And they would just contact me however they could. Now, would it be required that a family member contact me? Because I feel like at some point some of my family members would take advantage of a situation of when I wasn't there to be able to accept or decline some of that information.
Well, the personal representative is the one who probably hired an attorney that would contact you that way.
Okay.
So it would be the person named to be in charge of the estate. Do you know who that would be?
I have no clue, to be honest. My grandmother died recently as well, so...
All right, she died in Manatee County?
No, it was...
Sarasota County?
Fruit Cove Springs, Jacksonville.
Oh, okay.
Area.
Duval, either St. John's County or Duval County.
St. John's. I believe it was St. John's County.
All right, so you could go to... You could call the probate clerk in St. John's County, and you could ask them if you could give them the name of your mother and the approximate date or the date she died. And you could ask them if a will has been filed in the probate court.
All right.
There's a requirement that it will be filed usually within 10 days. So even though there's not a penalty if you don't make 10 days. But there's a statute that says if you are in possession of someone's will, it must be filed within 10 days. If it has been filed, you can ask them how many pages it would be, because they'd charge you $1 to a page to send it to you. Then you would know exactly.
All right. Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to Mark in Safety Harbor.
Hey, hello.
Mark. Hey, Mark.
Yo.
Hey, how are you?
Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, thank you for calling.
I listen almost every Saturday morning.
Great.
I've got the situation. It was an auto accident, and they wrote it as my fault. And what happened is I was on US 19, which is a 55-mile-an-hour road. And a woman was in front of me from out of state, and there's a McDonald's going north that gives you a very small entryway. There's no, like, exit ramp or anything. You just have to 55 miles an hour to turn in. Well, I don't know if she put a directional on or what, but all I did was try to swerve real fast to get around her, and the office came out, and I should have debated at the time because I didn't ask those questions. But I've been driving back and forth on that road for 20 years without any incident.
All right,
at all.
So is your main question about the traffic ticket?
Yes, well, here's the part of it, is the woman jumped out. I'm a nurse. People in the car are fine. So then I said, okay, and I didn't ask any more questions. And then I get the thing now. I'm hearing that their attorney's involved.
So she's saying she was injured?
I guess now.
Okay. And you've contacted your insurance company?
Yes.
Okay, so do you want to fight the ticket, or do you want to have another question?
Well, I'm thinking about fighting the ticket just for the fact that when I was there, it was so fast, and...
All right. Well, if you want to contact me, I can give you the name of an attorney that handles traffic tickets, and you could discuss your case with him, and he'll let you know whether he thinks he can do anything with it.
Very good. I appreciate it.
All right. So just send, his first name is Hunter. He's been on the show many times, but send me an email and ask me to connect you with Hunter and request that Hunter give you a call, and then I'll forward the email and put your phone number in there, and I'll forward the email to Hunter, and then he'll call you.
Okay. And your email?
Joe, J-O-E, @attypip.com.
I should know that you say it often.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mark. You have a good day. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney, host of Ask an Attorney. Hey, if you have a legal question, give me a call. We're 20 minutes into the show now. We have another 30 minutes. Hey, so give us a call, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Jane in Tampa.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, how are you?
I have a friend who has a sister who lives out of state.
And what's your name?
Jane.
Okay.
And she is supposed to be moving down here to Tampa. And he doesn't want her to stay at his house. I just lost a friend, and so I have a spare room.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked, would he allow me to let her stay in this other room?
He asked you for permission for her to stay in this room.
Right, in my house.
All right.
For a period maybe of a couple weeks,
mm-hmm.
or a couple of months, at the longest, and then he's going to put her in one of his houses. So she will have her own house and car, and I will be relieved of any responsibility of her after that. If she stays here a long time and we fall in love and I get married to her, which I would not let a woman live in my house unless I planned on marrying her. If I get married to her, I lost my other wife several years ago, and because of the limited income I had, I got spousal coverage, which doubled my Social Security check.
Okay.
Now, if I get married to this other lady, which is just hypothetical at this time, would I lose my spousal money that comes from my wife's...
All right, did you have a property settlement agreement in your divorce where it spells out what you get?
And... We didn't divorce. She died.
Oh, she died. Oh, no, I don't think... No, I don't... I'm sorry. I thought... No, if you get remarried, I don't think you lose any of those benefits.
Oh, that's what I was worried about, because my income was... because I never had a decent year job, though I worked most of my life.
Well, no, the income that she would bring would be hers and would not affect you.
Well, when she died, I doubled my income. Now, if I got married to another lady who has no Social Security, would I lose that income I got from her?
No, I don't believe so, but the safest thing for you to do would be to call the Social Security office, and they give them your tax number, Social Security number. They'll bring you up on the computer. You could ask that question, and you could get a definite answer from somebody on the other end that works at Social Security. But my belief is I don't think it would be affected.
Okay, because she had a she didn't have much of an income.
Yeah,
well, I'm not gonna think she did. That's why I would suggest
though, you didn't ask me this, but I would suggest that you have a lease that could be she could leave at will, but she cannot initially. She cannot stay longer than 2 months.
She can't stay longer than 2 months. If what happens after that?
Well, then if she won't leave and you want her to, she could be evicted because she'd be in violation of the lease. At least you have some safety net of if you don't want her there, you can force her to leave.
So
I would have a short-term lease. You know, it could be 2 weeks or 2 months, and you give her the right to leave earlier than if she wants to. All that could be in the lease, but I definitely have something in writing.
Now, this friend of mine, he owns a lot of houses, and he has had to evict some people. And there is a charge for having...
yeah. You haven't met this person yet?
No.
I would interview her first before you would agree to anything to make sure you think you could have her in your house for a couple of months. You might decide, you might have a conversation with her and decide, well, this is going to be great, and I'm going to really enjoy this. Or you might have a conversation with her and say, no, I don't want to subject myself to being with this person for 2 months. I mean, it could float either way.
Okay, when she comes down here, she has got no place to go.
Well, that's not your problem necessarily. I mean, they're trying to make it your problem, but I would interview her first.
Okay.
And then if you do like her and think it would work, then definitely do short-term lease.
As far as I know, she's going to come down, and then she's supposed to move into one of his houses.
Well, I would think she could do that for a month, and y'all could visit a little bit and see if you want to take her in your house.
Well, if she gets down here in the next day or so, which is not likely... somebody else is supposed to move into that thing, and then he would have no choice to let her.
All right. Well, hey, listen, I got to move on here. I hope I helped you.
Okay. All right.
All right.
That's an idea. Thank you.
All right.
You.
Thanks.
Bye.
Let's go to Ricky.
Hello.
Hey, Ricky.
This is Ricky. I want to ask you a question regarding something my girlfriend going through. Hey, she's not going through. Her mother died about a year and a half ago, and her mother owned four properties in the area, and they probated my girlfriend and her sister probated four of the properties, which no problem. They got them. But the fifth property is a family-owned property of my girlfriend's mother, and my girlfriend's mother had seven brothers and sisters. And my girlfriend's mother was the last one to die. But during the years when the other ones did not, when the other ones died, they didn't probate the property. And right now, all seven of past brothers and sisters is on the property.
Mm-hmm.
And my girlfriend going to a lawyer, and she was saying it would be difficult to probate this property, and I wasn't there with her because of the seven deceased family members that are on the property, and they have to go through, I guess, a process of finding remaining survivors. And she said it would be expensive, and she actually suggested that my girlfriend just let the property go.
Mm-hmm.
What's your feeling? Now, the lady that did the probate was good, but she also suggested my girlfriend go to a real estate attorney specifically to deal with that. But what's your opinion on that?
All right, from the little bit I know in our short conversation here, I'm assuming that the property was owned by seven people.
Right.
And I'm assuming that it was a deed with just no magic words after the seven names, which means they individually, tenants in common, it's called.
Okay.
Each owned a share.
Right.
So if each person owned a 1/7 share, then there'd be seven different probates going on.
Oh, okay. That's what she said. Yeah.
So yeah. That would be, now your girlfriend could probate and get ownership of 1/7 of the property.
Right.
But what good would that do her? I mean, you know,
that's what the attorney applied to her.
Yeah. So what good would that do? So if she could orchestrate all seven probates to start, I mean, and there's some equity there in the property and it'd be worthwhile. And all she has to do is get the whole thing coordinated to where, you know, I'd be glad to do seven probates. I mean, it's not difficult. It's just going to be time consuming and it may be hard to find everybody.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. The fee structure, would it be per probate?
Yes.
Okay, that's what she suggested.
Yep. Yeah. Yep, that's the way it works.
Yeah, okay. That's what she... I thought that sounded odd, but that's what the attorney told her.
No. It's, tenants in common means they each own the share. So they're
right.
Seven people owning the share, and all the ones that are deceased would have to, before their share can pass on,
mm-hmm.
would have to be probated.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's okay. All right, that's what she told her. And that's exactly it works out. All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, no problem. Let's go to Jack. Jack in Jacksonville.
Yes, hi.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Several years ago, my wife and I did a trust, went to an attorney, had a trust done. And, you know, when I look on property records, a lot of times with tax, you know, the tax rolls, I see where, you know, there's some properties that are actually in the name of a trust, a family
mm-hmm.
trust.
Mm-hmm.
And ours never changed over to where it went from her name into the actual trust name. Is that an issue?
Well, let me ask you this. Did she sign a quitclaim deed from herself to her trust?
That I don't know. I don't know if that was part of the process or not.
All right, because a lot of my clients will sign a quitclaim deed from themselves to themselves as trustees of their own trust. So there's no change of ownership because the person and the trust are the same entity with the same tax number.
Right.
So you're not doing a warranty deed where you're guaranteeing good title and all that. You're doing a quitclaim deed of your own interest, of your property into your own trust. So a lot of my clients do a quitclaim deed. It doesn't get recorded until death is their choice. And and basically it wouldn't show up on the public records, but it would be in the trust.
Gotcha.
So to answer your question, you're going to have to figure out whether she signed a quitclaim deed and she's just holding that with her will and trust papers.
Okay, gotcha. And since it only shows in her name, I mean, if we were not to get along at some point, would she be able to sell the house without my consent?
Is it homestead?
Say again?
Is it your homestead?
Yes, it is.
No. If it's Homestead, she was going to need your signature.
Okay.
And actually, if it's Homestead, she probably couldn't have put it in the trust if it was Homestead at the time she did the trust, because you can't transfer a Homestead into an individual property unless you'll have a pre- or post-marital agreement.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, absent that, it's a very good chance that the property would not be in the trust.
I mean, we purchased the property. The property was purchased, you know, during our marriage.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, yeah. Well, she wouldn't be able to put that in an individual trust without a pre- or post-marital agreement.
Okay. All right, real good. Thank you much.
Thanks. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, all about Florida law. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Let's go to John in Bradenton.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, fine. On the, you were mentioning talking about trusts earlier about the, you know, the grantor. Let's say I have a trust. I'm the grantor. I'm the
trustee.
Yeah, the trustee.
Mm-hmm.
And then I name two successor trustees.
Yes.
If I come up, become incapacitated, unless either one of those successor trustees is listed as a trustee instead of a successor trustee, if I'm incapacitated, can they? How does that? Can they act in my behalf, or how does that?
Yeah, they are a successor trustee standing by to take over if you die or become incapacitated. Now, the way they take over if you become incapacitated, there are two ways. There, you could resign and let them be an acting trustee immediately. That's the quicker way. Okay. Or if you don't, if you become incapacitated and you haven't resigned, then they have to provide, at least the trust that I draft and most trusts I've looked at, they have to come up with two doctor's letters that you're unable to be the trustee.
Oh, okay.
And then they present that to an attorney, and then they accept the job as trustee, and there's just a little bit of paperwork to do if it happens that way.
So that should be called out in the trust?
Yes, there should be a language in the trust that says that, yes.
Okay. And then how does the power of attorney enter into the same situation?
A power of attorney would be used to take care of all matters outside the trust.
Okay.
So, and a power of attorney can have health care language in it. It can have language to deal with government agencies, retirement accounts, annuities, things outside the trust.
Okay.
So that's purpose is so that you would never be declared incompetent. Someone has the power to, in your case, act as either a trustee and or a power of attorney so they can handle all matters for you without a court being involved.
Okay. But you say, can you repeat that? You say all matters outside of the trust. That would be...
Yeah, so you put your home into the trust, your real estate in the trust, your checking, savings, money, market accounts, stocks, bonds, and all the non-retirement accounts could be titled in the name of the trust.
Yes.
So the power of attorney would deal with health care decisions, perhaps. It could deal with Social Security, Medicare, government benefits. They're not in the trust. It could deal with insurance, annuities, retirement accounts. You know, they're not in the trust.
Okay.
So it can handle all matters outside the trust.
Okay. Okay, good. Okay, well, thank you very much for your help.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. If you'd like to learn more about estate, let me give out the phone numbers to call if you have a question. You can call the toll-free number 877-943-9673. I'm going to give out the way you can get obtain our poster sheet. It's probably too big to flash in front of the camera here, but it's a large poster sheet if you'd like it. I'm showing it on Facebook Live here now for the cameras. But if you'd like it, I'd love to send it to you. It's a double-sided, large sheet all about estate planning and has all of our contact information, website, radio shows on one side, and all five different articles all about estate planning on the other. I'll give you that information in just a second. Let's first go to Bill in Jacksonville. Hey, Bill.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I have a question about my mom, mother-in-law. She has a couple hundred thousand in investments,
mm-hmm.
and she's in her 80s now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of in the understanding at one point that to distribute that, I mean, she's in great health and everything now and living on her own, But I was just trying to figure out the best way to for her to distribute that to her daughter, my wife. And we have four kids. And isn't there a certain amount of money that she can only distribute out per year?
Well, you can distribute out $15,000 per year per person as a gift without any reporting requirements to the government.
And when
IRS.
when you say reporting requirements, that means
to the IRS.
I mean, can she just cut a check to her daughter for $15,000 per year, and no taxable consequence on either side?
Yes. Now there is a there is a consequence, perhaps if she had to go in a nursing home, because even though there's an IRS rule about $15,000, no tax, no reporting, there's a rule that if you make a gift within the previous 5 years, you could be disqualified somewhat from a Medicaid benefit if you went into the nursing home. So there's like two different issues running there.
Got it. So we need to cross our fingers that she doesn't go to a nursing home for 5 years, and we need to start getting her to distribute that money. Do you feel like that's a really good way to distribute her wealth, or do you feel like there's another way for her to do that? Like maybe like gosh, what happens if she dies and she just has that sitting in her investment account?
Well, does she have a will?
Oh yeah.
Well, the will would go through probate. She could create a living trust to pass it. Is your wife the only child?
No, she's got a sister and a brother.
Okay, so it's going to be three equal shares, you assume, in the estate?
Yeah.
So most of my clients would do a trust to avoid probate, make it quick and easy for the heirs to receive the money.
Okay. Now, you think that's a better taxable situation than having her distribute out $15,000 per year to each one of the kids?
Well, I think it's better because then you wouldn't have to worry about if she went in a nursing home. If she went in a nursing home, let's say she's 80, so let's say at 83 she went in a nursing home for some reason, a stroke or whatever. So the way we do our estate planning is we'd probably create a trust for her. We'd give she would sign a power of attorney to one of her children. The power of attorney gives the power to move those assets around if she went into a nursing home, so she could protect the estate and also qualify for Medicaid. So that would probably be that's what I think.
In the state, it's not considered hers then anymore, right?
No, it is, but the power of attorney we draft and the trust we draft, things can be moved around if she, you know, give us 2 months notice that she's going into a nursing home. We can move things around and probably protect everything. And there are multiple options on how to do that when the time comes. Hopefully, it would never be necessary, and she'd never go into a nursing home. And then just her trust would avoid probate, and the children would receive everything equally, and the estate could be closed very quickly.
Okay. Now, when the kids get their inheritance, is that a taxable?
No. Mom can leave $11 million tax free. So it sounds like she's under that.
Okay. So really, it doesn't matter if she does it through the estate, I mean through the trust, or if she starts doling out $15,000 each one of them now.
Yeah, but if she was my client, I would probably tell her not to gift.
Not to give.
Yeah, because, you know, she might need the money. She might want to do certain things, so why give it all away? I mean, that's generally. I mean, there's nothing wrong with making gifts, but those gifts could disqualify. It's a 5-year look-back period on gifting for Medicaid planning.
Right.
But it's a choice. You know, we don't charge any. My office is in Jacksonville. I'll be there next Friday. We don't charge anything for a free consult. We just throw out all the options, and usually a person makes a decision, and we roll with it and get the document done quickly.
That's great. Hey, love your show, guys.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate you being out there.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. Was my producer here trying to tell me something? Let's go to Chris.
Good.
Hey, Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Good morning. Quick question. I've got a couple of properties, and I would like to put them into my LLC, including my primary. Will there be a tax consequence on my home, on my property taxes, if I put my homestead into the LLC?
Well, first of all, there's no reason to put a homestead in an LLC. A homestead has all the asset protection. It's your homestead, so why would you want to put it in an LLC? Because you don't.
Okay.
No creditor can take your home. It's a protected asset because it's homestead.
Okay, got it. How about the other properties?
The other properties, since the LLC is a different entity, that could change the tax rate.
Oh, boy. Okay, so if I leave it as is under my legal name, and when I go to heaven, what are the tax consequences there?
Well, really none, because the real estate property gets a stepped up cost basis upon death. If you bought it for $100, now it's worth $200, and you die, then it can be passed on to your heirs at $200 with a stepped up cost basis, no tax whatsoever. You have it in a living trust, you can also avoid probate.
Okay. So the ideal thing would be to just go ahead and put everything into a trust.
Well, there are some, there are always choices now. The reason you would put maybe the other property into an LLC, regardless of the tax consequences, would be for liability reasons. So do you rent that property?
That's it.
You rent the
property?
Yeah.
Yes.
So everything has multiple. Sometimes it's hard to do a radio show because you know everything has multiple choices and multiple things you can do. But the people do LLCs for second properties because of asset protection. So there are several ways to deal with that. One, of course, would be to have plenty of insurance. If somebody slips on the sidewalk in your rental property, you have insurance to cover it, or put it in LLC. I mean, so. Those are the two basic primary reasons, I think.
Okay, so if you put it in an LLC, one of the consequences would be that your property taxes will increase.
Yeah, they probably increase, but you know, charge you your rent is based on your cost, pretty much. So
you want to
figure out what the new costs would be for the insurance, and or make the tenant pay the insurance.
Exactly. Okay, when is your next seminar in St. Petersburg?
I don't have my calendar right in front of me. I'm not sure I have one scheduled in St. Petersburg. But, hey, if you want to, I speak at churches and community groups and things like that. If you belong to a group, I'd love to come.
Wonderful. I'll touch base with your office. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
All right. Bye-bye. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. We only have like 7 minutes left in the show. If you want to call 877-943-9673, and we're going to go to Loretta. How are you, Loretta?
I'm good. How are you?
You're calling from Melbourne?
No, Lakeland.
Oh, Lakeland. Okay. All right. What can we do for you?
Okay, I was in a long-term marriage 27 years before it was granted a divorce. And in my divorce, it was granted also for me to get half my ex-husband's 401k. So now I'm in the process of a quadro.
Mm-hmm.
I've already signed it. Our divorce was final 2 years ago. I've already signed the quadro, but I'm not sure he's going to sign it. What do I do in that case? That's my question. How do I get my money?
So you're in the middle of a divorce.
No, it's final.
Well, the quadro should have been signed before the divorce was finaled.
Well, how do I get my money? It wasn't. I bought the quadro.
Okay, were you represented by an attorney?
Yes.
Well,
they assure me I'll get my money, but the thing is, the divorce is final. My quadro was lost for quite some time. They found it in February of this year. So now we've got it back in progress again, and I've signed it. I'm waiting on him to sign it now.
Well, you have an attorney, so it's really kind of improper for me to jump in here. But my advice would be to go back to your attorney, and even if they have to reopen the proceeding, or somehow or another, I don't know what all the paper, the property settlement agreement, all that. If there's, you can bring him back in and find him in contempt for not signing it or making it happen. But you really need to go back to your attorney and figure out how to get this finalized. It's not proper for me to jump in because you're represented.
Okay, thank you.
All right, sorry. All right, let's go to Andre in Haines City.
Hello, how are you?
Good, and you?
I'm just fine. I have two questions I wanted to ask really quickly.
All right.
First question is, my mom, on her home, she's 100% owner of it.
Mm-hmm.
But she has three sons, and we've been talking to her about, you know, the things you don't really want to talk about. But mm-hmm. we're trying to prevent the home should anything happen to her going into probate.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if she added the three of us onto.
Is it a single family property?
Yes. Yes.
No, she should do a trust. If she adds your names on there, she's made a gift. That could affect, that's a gifting issue. There's a Medicaid issue. There's a cost basis issue.
Okay.
If she died with it and left it to the three of you, then they would get a stepped up cost basis. If you put it in a trust, it would avoid probate. So there are too many bad issues if she tries to put your name on everything.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Okay. And the second question is, on prenuptial agreements,
mm-hmm.
if I have a friend of mine that, is rather wealthy, and they signed a prenup, mm-hmm. but him and his wife is maybe going through a divorce of some type,
mm-hmm.
They share children together. Does the prenup protect him from child support, or is it determined by how it's written up?
Well, I don't think he's protected against not supporting his children in a prenup. I mean, that would be unusual, I would think. So
okay.
I think he's going to have an obligation. Now, the wife may have waived her rights to assets. She probably did on the prenup. So she might not get much, but I don't think he couldn't waive the right to support the children. And he shouldn't want to, by the way. He shouldn't want to support his children. But
Well, what I think it is that he has, there's a huge sum
mm-hmm.
for them
mm-hmm.
that's like everything, I guess, apparently been taken care of should anything happen between him and her.
A huge fund that he set up?
Yes.
Well, maybe that'll cover it. I mean, maybe there's an agreement. A lot of agreements say that one of the spouses upon divorce will have ample insurance that would take care of the children upon death benefit. It will agree to set up some type of fund for their support. I mean, there are ways that if it's already been arranged for their support properly, and that's referenced in the premarital agreement, that might be fine.
Okay.
But he, wealthy guy, had an attorney draft that up, so he should be asking his attorney that, basically.
Gotcha.
All right.
Okay, that's all I have.
All right, thanks.
And thank you.
All right, you've been listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. And if you would like our estate planning poster sheet, it's a large size poster sheet with articles all about your options and different choices, diagrams. If you'd like it, I'd love to send it to you. No charge. It's too big. It's on our website, double-sided, large sheet, too big for you to print out and get it all on one page. I'd love to send you this nice piece. If you'd like it, it's free. So let me mail it to you. There are three ways you can get it. I can mail it. If you want it mailed to you and you want to just call our office, we have a toll-free number to call the office at 1-800-226-3529. To say, I want the free poster sheet. Give them your name and address. You could go to that number now and go to extension 200 and just leave your name and address if you want to get that over with this weekend, and we'll capture that on Monday and mail it to you. So it's 1-800-226-3529, 1-800-226-3529, extension 200. If you want to just email me, shoot me a quick email and say, look, here's my name and address. Please send me the poster sheet. It's Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Joe@attypip.com. If you want to text it to me, your name and address, and ask for the poster sheet, you can do that as well at 727-667-3967. Hey, it's Attorney Joe Pippin. Hoping you have a great, great weekend. Thanks for listening. Be back next week, the same time. So long.